turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians and we'll pray. Turn to chapter 12. In chapters 12 and 14, we're going to read a good bit, but I'm only going to highlight just a few verses. I want to just bring out a few things that I don't know if we've covered over these 4 weeks before we enter into this worship and seeking tonight. And I want you to be fully, just fully aware of what the Word of God says in this area. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Help me, Lord, to be concise this evening and to allow You time to do what You desire to do in the rest of the service, Lord God. But make clear Your Word, Lord. Give me clarity of speech and thought. Make everything plain. And for those who struggled perhaps to understand some of it, let it all come together. That every word we've built upon, line upon line, precept upon precept. And now I ask, Holy Spirit, that You would make it all clear. Lord, by Your Spirit, to the spirits of everyone who is sitting here, Lord God, every born-again believer, may they hear You in their spirit. And may they hunger and thirst for everything that You have promised Your church. And so tonight we open our hearts to You. And Jesus, I just want You to be glorified in this. I'm not seeking for a certain way or a certain means or a certain outcome except that You would do what You say that You do. Lord, that I would be obedient and walk in integrity as I deliver Your Word. And then, Lord, You would do what only You can do, and that is the supernatural gifting that You promise us. And so we come in Jesus' name asking all of these things tonight. Amen. Now, again, I'm just going to read and I'll highlight as we go. And this will just kind of be the capstone, just finishing off some things in all the other that we've talked about for the last 4 weeks. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And that's the heart of the reason we've been where we've been now for 4 weeks. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that means saying it truly with submission from their heart. Now, verses 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, all I want you to see in this, these are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are other gifts, there are other callings, there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and we can look at all of these things. But these are not human talents. These are supernatural. When we call them gifts, truly in the Greek, it's more manifestations. It is a gift, and it's by grace that these things come. But it is a manifestation of the Spirit. And I'll probably say this again in just a minute, but I want you to remember, when you look at this list and those who maybe struggled, and I hope answers came during the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, these are the public ministries of the gifts of the Spirit. So when you see tongues included in this list, if you were to go back and look at the previous chapter, everything, we look at the Word of God in context. This is all about the house of God. This is all about ministry. This is all about conduct in the house of God. He's talked about prophesying. He's talked about the Lord's Supper, different things. And now he's still speaking about when we come together. I've been talking to you for at least 2 weeks about the private prayer language, about the gift of tongues that continues after being filled with the Spirit as a language that you can pray to the Lord in private, and how Paul says that builds you up. But in this list, and we're not going to spend time on them tonight, there are different ministries. And when I say they are ministries to the body first, when you come together, that is true. These are things that occur within the body of Christ as they come together, as the Spirit wills. In other words, He may use one person one time with a gift of tongues and someone else with the interpretation, or the same person that spoke in tongues may have the interpretation, or then another person may have a word from God, a prophetic word. Another person may have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, and we're not going to go into the definitions of those tonight, but these are giftings of the Holy Spirit. I want to also add that they operate in ministry to the lost. It's still ministry. It's still the body ministering. What greater thing than when the E-team, when the Lord begins to move in such a way that you go out, and certainly your highest calling is to give them the gospel so that they come to Christ. But when the Lord begins to arrange divine opportunities, divine encounters, and you've prayed, and perhaps you go out and the Lord says in your spirit, see that person, I have a word for them. And you speak a word to them that only God could have given you, and it melts their heart so that they can receive the gospel. That is the ministries of the Spirit operating not only within the body, but the body doing ministry as they reach out to the lost. In verse 12 through... didn't write this down right here. In verses 12 through the end of this chapter... well, no... verses 12 through 27, we're now talking about, and we're not going to read it. He is talking about the importance of the body and about there not being jealousy over gifts or abilities or offices or titles or services, different things in the body of Christ, that we can't be jealous because the foot is just as important as the eye, that every single member is important in the body of Christ. Amen? And so when we begin to minister and this one has a gift and that one operates in a gift and begins to move forward, they're all important in the body of Christ. And contrary to what some have taught in the past, because in this list over here that we read, the gift of tongues and interpretation comes last, and people will say it's the least important gift, that is not even in the Word of God. And the order in that list has no sense of ranking. It is not a ranking, it is simply a list. And there is no gift, there is one gift that he says that's more important. We'll look at that in just a moment. Now, as we then leave that and look at verse 28, just very briefly, God has appointed these in the church. And this is another list. It's not a ranking of importance. God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And then the category changes. Those are spiritual offices. Those are people who are in leadership and are ministering the Word of God. Apostles, prophets, and teachers. Then their manifestations. Miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. He is not trying to lock this into a certain order or a certain rank. He's saying all are important, and I just want to leave that. Go over to verse 29, which confuses so many people. I've already touched on it in previous week. Are all apostles? Again, we're talking about public ministries. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healings? Do all speak with tongues? I'm going to put in parentheses, as a ministry in a public setting, in other words, in the service, in the body, requiring interpretation. Do all interpret? No. Everyone's not to call to do those things as a ministry in the body of Christ. I talked to you last week about three different kinds of tongues. This is one type. This is publicly, which requires interpretation. It's not the same thing as praying in tongues privately or in a prayer meeting or in a gathering. It's not the same thing as the gift of tongues at the reception of the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit. But verse 31 says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Now, once again, we're not going to read it, but chapter 13, many of you know almost by heart, it's the love chapter. And in that chapter, he is simply saying, you can have all of these things, and if it's not by the love of Christ, if it's not operating in love for one another, then it's just noise. And I've heard tongues that were noise, and I've seen worship that was noise, and I've seen it when it was so beautiful that it sounded like heaven, as you stepped into the presence of the Lord. But he's saying love. And the testimony of many is that when you receive the Holy Spirit, it is like love has poured into your soul. God has filled you with His love as well as His power, His presence, and all of those things. If we're filled with Christ, how many of you know we're going to be filled with love? With the love of Christ. Now, chapter 14, I told you I was going to move fast. Chapter 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. For those of you that say, well, if God wants to give me something, He'll give it to me. That's not what the Word says. It says desire spiritual gifts. In another place, it says whatever giftings that you believe God's given you, then do it in proportion to the faith that you have. You step out in it and you walk in it in faith, according to the faith that the Lord has given you. Now listen again, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now here we have what seems to be a ranking. Prophecy is the highest other than love, but as a gift, as a manifestation of the Spirit, prophecy is. And I've taught before, prophecy operates on many different levels. Preaching can be prophecy if it's by the Spirit of God, and hopefully it always is. A word in the congregation, someone can have a word from God that's a prophetic word. It is proclaiming the mind of God. It is proclaiming the mind of God in the present situation. And that ministers not only to the body, as we'll see, but to unbelievers who come in and they're convicted because they hear what God is saying in the midst of His people and they're cut to their heart and they say, God is among you. But we're going to find out, okay, so if prophecy is the highest and in that other list, tongues was down there at the bottom. Let's just go on. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And I've encouraged you week after week to understand that the Bible says that we speak mysteries. The Lord is stirring something within us. He edifies us. He builds us up spiritually. And He does something within us that is beyond human understanding. And yet it has to do with that anointing that's on our life and what comes from that time spent with the Lord in prayer in the Spirit. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So when someone stands up and prophesies in their native tongue, in English here, it edifies the whole body. See, he's talking about public ministry. Not when you pray in tongues, when you exercise that gift as a prayer language. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And again, I told you last week, that's not selfishness. It's what God wants to do with that gift in your life. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now he's going to clarify something that's very, very important here. I wish you all spoke with tongues. We've already touched on that. But even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Look at this. Unless indeed he interprets. There's a big unless there. Now I'm talking about public ministries. When someone speaks alone, in other words, stands up, speaks in tongues in a public worship service, and it requires interpretation according to the Word of God, as we have happened here, that prophecy is the best thing that you can do. And tongues, no one understands, it's not on that same level unless it steps out of just being your prayer language and God calls you to stand up and to speak in tongues, and then there's an interpretation in the native language, in English, then that is on the level with prophecy. Are you with me? When it's interpreted, it is important. I could just word it in reverse if you don't believe me. I could just turn the sentence around and say, if you speak in tongues and interpret that the church may receive edification, it's just as great as one who stands and prophesies. So there's a high value placed upon the ministry and the gift of tongues in a public service. But now, brethren, verse 6, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by... Now, I want you to see something again here. I don't know any other way to understand this sentence. He's not contrasting tongues with something totally else. Like, you can either speak in tongues, and that's not going to benefit anybody, or you can speak by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. No, now he is including all of these as being inspired and coming through the use of the gift of tongues. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you? That's not saying forget tongues. He said, it's not going to profit you if I speak in tongues unless I speak to you, in other words, in tongues and interpretation, by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching. So all of these things can come forth from the gift of tongues and interpretation. I don't know if that's new to any of you or not. There have been men of God in the past, and I assume today, who preach. And as they preach, at times, God moves on them and they speak in tongues. And part of their teaching then comes forth because of what God is saying by the Spirit as they've spoken in tongues, and then God's given them the gift of interpretation. So there's teaching, there's revelation, there's knowledge that comes through praying mysteries, through praying in the Spirit, as Paul calls it in this passage we're about to read. Then he says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? I want to challenge you as we move forward in the gift of God, the gifts of God. And I'm not taking away from any message, any word in tongues that's ever been given, because it's always edified. It's always been encouragement. But I want to tell you there's a higher level. I want to tell you God wants to take us to a place where we say things that have a certain sound and prepares us for battle. Well, there are words from God, prophesyings that are so specific. Not general, but specific. Now, I'm not discouraging if somebody receives a word and it's God says, I want to encourage my people, love me, and I'm going to pour out my blessings. Praise God. Because He encourages in that way. God also brings words of warning. God also brings words of knowledge about things that are to come. God moves and speaks many things through the gifts of tongues and interpretations. And it's certain. It's not an uncertain message. It prepares people for the battle that we're in as we walk with God. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore I do not know the meaning of the language. If I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner unto me. He's talking about what happened was Corinth was so zealous for the gifts of God that even though they had great sin in their midst, the Bible speaks, Paul speaks of it, they couldn't wait to get to church so everybody could speak in tongues and prophesy and do all of these things, and it just became this great orgy of spiritual gifts. It was just feeding on their flesh nature rather than truly operating with humble denial of self and living holy, righteous lives. It was, let's all come together and pray in tongues because we just love the supernatural things. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of the church world is today. And Paul was saying no. Even so, since you are zealous, verse 12, for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, and sometimes, I'm going to share some things with you that are practical now as we begin to seek the Lord and come to this. When Pastor Maggie speaks in tongues, you've heard her speak in tongues in a service before, invariably someone else will have the interpretation, and that's how God uses different parts of the body. But she always, as she brings that, she has prayed, she asks the Lord, God gives her interpretation. I don't have that gift as much as her. God gives her interpretation. And so when she's praying in tongues, if nobody else were to interpret, she would interpret. She would bring the interpretation. So sometimes when we're standing there thinking, oh, what if there's no interpretation, then we're out of order. The interpretation will be there because God will give it. Amen? Amen. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue, verse 13, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now, I used to have such a hang up with this coming out of my denominational roots, because I don't believe this is the only time. I don't think that praying in the Spirit always means tongues. I believe that there are times that there are groanings. There are times that we're just being led by the Spirit. But Paul, in this context, defines praying in tongues as praying in the Spirit. He says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. I'm not praying in my native tongue. It's mysteries. God's doing something, but I don't understand it in the moment. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." And he calls it later praying in the Spirit. What is the conclusion then? Now, Paul's talking about, remember, we've already said, he thanks God he prays in tongues more than everybody. He just doesn't do it all the time in church. "For if I pray in a tongue," verse 15, what is the conclusion then? "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding." That means with my mind and my native tongue. So he says, I'm going to do both. And obviously he did both with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because he said, "I pray with tongues more than you all." And then he says, "I will sing with the Spirit." And this may be new to some of you. "I will sing with the Spirit." Based upon his previous definition in verse 14, then he's singing in tongues. "I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." In other words, with my native tongue, with my mind, that I understand. Now, I came to this for a reason, because this is not just about you receiving the Holy Spirit. It is about the foundation for this church, about how do we operate in these things when we come together in worship. And I realized recently that, you know, some of us have come through charismatic experiences and different backgrounds. Some have not. And sometimes you just need to know, what are they talking about? What are they doing here? And I want to share with you one of the most beautiful things that has come out of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement. And as I told you this morning, that goes all the way back to Pentecost, not just from the year 1900 and the Azusa Street Revival. How many of you know sometimes Carolyn is playing here in praise and worship, and the Lord's really, it's just obvious that His presence is very, very dear and very sweet here. And between songs, she just sort of plays freely. And we begin to sing, and it's not the song that's up there. And most, I think, in this place are singing something like, "Lord, we just worship You." I'm not saying that's not spiritual, okay? "Lord, we worship You and we honor You." But Paul says, "I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding." Now, I want you to have liberty. It must be by the Spirit of God. I won't ever tell you to do it like some people would, you know, like, "Oh, now I want you to pray in tongues." No. It must be by the moving of the Spirit of God. But I want to tell you one of the most beautiful things you will ever hear, unless you've got your walls up towards the gift of tongues. One of the most beautiful things you will ever hear is when a congregation that exercises that gift, and God is very, very present, sometimes the pianist plays one note, and people begin, "Oh, say, olovo si, terde mo carte no mo si." And they begin to sing in tongues, and each one's different. And the Holy Spirit is acting as a conductor. It is supernatural, because they begin to break. You begin to hear people sing in other parts of a chord that the person hasn't even played. They're singing in harmony, and it just builds, it swells, and it sounds like the voices of heaven, and it just rises to the throne of God. And it's so melodious and so beautiful that it could not have been constructed by man. My desire is that we will be open and let the Holy Spirit do that here. I'm not asking, "Oh God, I want every service to be, oh, all this stuff." It needs to be what God wants. But you need to know that you are free to pray in the Holy Ghost, and you're free to sing in the Holy Ghost when He lays it upon your heart. When we're doing it as a congregation, that does not require interpretation. That is not when someone stands and brings forth an utterance in tongues and it must be interpreted. When we are praying and we are singing in the Spirit, it rises as this incredible, beautiful thing before the throne of God. And I can't wait for some of you that have never heard it to hear it and to participate in it. What verse was I on? "Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Speaking of what the Corinthians were doing, they were coming together and everybody was jumping up many times at the same time, I believe, speaking in tongues and not even caring about having interpretation. And it was all in disorder and it was all in chaos. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. We're not going to read this. A prophecy of Isaiah that backs up what he's saying the gift of tongues is. And he talks about tongues being a sign for those outside who look and they say, wow, God is among you. And also prophecy in verse 24, an unbeliever comes in, an uninformed person, he is convicted by the word of prophecy or the tongues that's interpreted as prophecy and it comes forth. Verse 25, and the secrets of his heart are revealed and he falls down on his face and he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together? Now, most people interpret this as a formula for charismatic church meetings, especially small groups that are meeting. And it's okay, but you can read this two different ways. And I believe it means something else. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. And so many will say, well, you're not even operating in the Spirit if your church doesn't have all of these things happening in every service. That is not true. Paul has just corrected them for disorder in all of these things. And he's saying, how is it with you, brethren, when you come together, each of you, in other words, every one of you, wants to operate in every one of these things. Each of you has a tongue and an interpretation and a psalm and a word from God and all of these things. And say there's 50 people gathered. Every person comes and they all want to speak in tongues. They all want to prophesy. And they all want to do all these different things. He says, let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, let him keep silent. If you don't know that someone is moving in that gift, or if God doesn't bring forth an interpretation, then let them pray. If they're going to pray in tongues, let them pray silently to God. Let them speak to themselves and to God. Let it switch to prayer. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. This is important. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. In other words, we're courteous in the church of God. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. This is bedrock. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives you the gift of tongues. He will never, ever, ever force you. You will never stand up in a church service in the middle of the sermon and speak in tongues, or stand up and interrupt some, or stand up and get out of order in the middle of a song and say, but God made me do it. I had to do it. I couldn't hold it back. It was God. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. It is not God forcing you and Him speaking through you, making you stand up and do this. It is you speaking in tongues as the Spirit inspires you. You can wait. And it is not something that overtakes you. Some people that criticize tongues call it emotional or ecstatic speech. It's not ecstatic. It's not emotional. Your initial encounter with the Holy Spirit may be emotional for you. For some it is. For some it's not. But as you continue speaking in tongues, once you receive the gift, anytime you want to pray in tongues, you can pray in tongues. You don't have to get all emotional and goosebumps or anything. It's a natural thing then, but supernatural thing between you and God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the churches of the saints. We're going to stop right there. Now I'm going to ask a couple of people to come, give very brief testimony, as I told you that we were going to do, to what the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, how that's made a difference in their life, what it means to them. And then we're going to enter into worship again. I'll give you a few practical guidelines, and we're going to seek the Lord that everyone would truly be filled. Amen. Fran, would you come? You want to just use the microphone here?
Is my on? Okay. Praise the Lord. Just a little background. I got saved in a Nazarene church. mind when I surrendered to the Lord, I didn't understand. When Pastor Maggie, I first heard her read about in Colossians, I believe it is, where the Lord says He snatched us from the kingdom of darkness and put us into His kingdom of light. God said, that's what you fought. That's the battle that was going on. So what I would do every day at lunch, I knew I had accepted the Lord, but I was confused. I felt like I was being pulled apart. And I would either go to the little church at the altar, or I'd go home for my lunchtime and get by my bed and pray and just seek the Lord. And one day, as I was doing that, this language came. Now, I was in a Nazarene church, and I don't believe in speaking in tongues. And I wasn't fearful. I knew it was the Lord, and it was beautiful. And I was curious, and God, in His mercy, I knew He knew that I was curious, but the language just came, and it was beautiful. And there are no words. When you get to the point where you're seeking the Lord, you're praising the Lord, you're in love with the Lord, and no words that you have, that you know in your mind, work. Your language comes, and it's beautiful prayer. It's an amazing thing, this special prayer language to the Lord. And I wanted to, it is prayer language to the Lord, but it's also used in battle. And God, there were many battles that God brought me through. Most of you know about my daughter. There was a spiritual battle over her life. Satan tried many times to take her life. And I remember specifically one night in the middle of the night, it was Mary yelled, and Larry and I both jumped and ran. And as I was running, the language just came, and I was fighting Satan over her life. And all she was saying is, it's on my chest, it's on my chest, I can't breathe. And in the spirit that I have no idea, but I know God knew, and doing battle over her life, that thing stopped, and it left. So it is, and I know we are in for deep battles coming up. And I want to tell you that the spiritual language, it's beautiful language to the Lord, but it's battle language against the enemy of our soul.
Amen.
And there's a difference in it. Just as if you would be in battle, you don't go into battle in praise. You go into battle with your sword drawn and you fight. And that's battle, and I believe that we are going to be going into more of that, because this day is getting darker and darker, and evil abounds, and we are in a spiritual battle. And so we fight with our understanding, and we fight in the spirit against the enemy of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Why?
Lord, just give me the words, God, to speak Your heart and Your will, Father. Just give me clarity. Amen. I grew up in a home that was came from a Baptist background, so I had no idea what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. I didn't understand it. I believed everything that was in the Bible. After I got saved, I wanted it really bad. I didn't understand. I'd read about it, and I asked for it, and I wanted it, and it didn't happen until I went away to Bible school. And we had a service just like we'll have tonight, where if you weren't filled with the Holy Ghost, you'd come forward, and they'd lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of misconceptions in people's minds that this invisible hand is going to take over your tongue and take over your body, and it's going to make you speak and it's going to make something happen in you. Which a lot of people will give that testimony, that that's how it felt. It felt this way for me, or it felt that way for me, or I felt something. With me, I'll just tell you, I didn't feel anything. But nevertheless, it happened. So that's encouraging, right? If you don't feel anything, it still happens, because nobody can tell me it didn't, because I have a prayer language. And when I went forward, you know, I was prayed over, and nothing happened. You know, they're encouraging me to speak out, and I didn't understand at that time. You know, they're pushing on your head, you know, to speak out. And, you know, and it was good, and I didn't understand that I had to, I mean, if you'll bear with me and you'll allow me this term, you have to meet God halfway. That you do have control, just as Pastor Mark was speaking, the spirit subject to the prophet. You have control over your tongue, you do. But God will give this to you. I mean, it's a gift that comes. And I didn't speak in tongues until 2 or 3 weeks later. But at that point, when I said, God, I want it and I want all you have for me, that was the moment I was filled. But the prayer language didn't come till later. And just to tell you the biggest change that happened in me when I was filled with the Holy Spirit is a lot of the striving went away. You know, before the Holy Spirit came in my life, before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I strived to be good, strived to be a Christian. I didn't have the power that was supposed to become, the power that will come from on high. You will be endued with power when the Holy Spirit comes. He will fill you, and you'll go forth, and you'll speak with boldness and power. It was a fight in myself to be good and to demonstrate Christianity. And I was born again, but it was a fight, and it was a struggle. But when I was truly filled with the Holy Spirit, there was an understanding that the striving was gone. There's something inside of me, there's something real. God working through me. And I was in 114 acres at the school, you know, praying, and all of a sudden these words come. I was like, hey, you know what? This is probably it. This is what I asked for. You know, I'm going to pray these words, and that vocabulary grew, and now here it is, you know. And that was then, and this is now. You know, so nobody's experience is the same. You can't compare your experience to somebody else's.
Amen.
I felt hot honey pouring over my head, you know. You can't. I've heard those, and it's true for them, but it's not going to be necessarily true for you. But what's true for every single person is when you ask and you're clean, God gives it.
Amen.
You know, you come forward, you ask, you're clean, and you've put everything and you've surrendered. There's no bondage in my life, and if there is, man, I repent and I don't want it. And you're upright before the Lord and you ask for it, man, you got it. Because He said His Word, how much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's what it says in Luke. How much more will He give it? He's not going to give you a rock. Here's a scorpion for you because you asked for the Holy Spirit. Nah, He'll give it to you.
Amen.
You know, and so that's...
That's a perfect introduction to how we're going to go forward tonight. I am not standing here expecting you to act a certain way or do anything. I have been obedient to the Word of God and to bring you the Word of God faithfully and with integrity over 4 weeks. Some groups will get you in a huddle, and they'll get around you like Wyatt was saying, they'll be pushing you in the head. Nobody's going to push you. They'll be pushing you in the head, and they'll try to give you a jump start. They'll give you some words to say. They'll say, untie my bow tie. Say it real fast. Untie my bow tie. Untie my bow tie. Untie my bow tie. And then the words will start coming. I'm not going to say God in His mercy hasn't ever done it through that, but you won't find us doing that. You know, untie my bow tie. Who stole my Honda? I mean, just there, you've got it. You've got it, they say. You know, we're not going to do that. And we were at a meeting one time, and they were praying for this guy to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've been in some crazy places. They're praying for this man to receive the Holy Spirit, and they were trying to cast out every hindrance that they could. And then they started casting out the spirit of Baptist. And I was like, whoa, I don't think this is in the Bible. You know, they're casting out the spirit of Baptist because obviously his Baptist upbringing was hindering him from this. I was like, the spirit of Baptist, oh my gosh. No, We're going to do what it said this morning that we read, that Philip went down and he preached the gospel to the Samaritans and they received Christ. And then when the apostles realized that they had received Christ, they went down and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, and they laid hands on them. And they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. As Wyatt said, if you ask 20 different people, 100 different people, 1,000 different people what it was like, some are going to say, you know, it was just peaceful. I knew. Some are going to say, oh man, I felt like electricity, 10,000 volts went through my body. I'm not trying to make any of those things happen. I'm just asking the Lord to be faithful to His Word, and I know that He will. I know that the problem often lies with us. Because as Wyatt said, we think that God's going to take over our tongue and make it jabber. It doesn't happen that way. I waited for many, many years from a child until the age of about 30-something before I ever received my prayer language, when I had asked to be baptized in the Holy Spirit at about 15 years of age and thought God was going to force it and it was just going to come through. And it didn't happen that way. There had to come a time that by faith I believed the Word, and by faith I began to praise Him. Wyatt said that for him, and I've heard other people say this, it's like the words are there, the syllables are there, and you speak what the Holy Spirit has given you. That's never happened to me. It's happened to many people, other people. It's just that when they open their mouth, and English is no longer sufficient, and they allow themselves to do something so foolish as to take a step of faith and to begin speaking in another tongue, it happens. And God, just as fast as they speak, these syllables come. They don't hear it first in their mind like Wyatt did, but or in their spirit. It happens different ways with different people. Leah was driving her car. She began speaking in tongues. First man that ever got baptized in water in this church. A week or two later, he was riding his bicycle and the Lord... He just broke through and he began praying in tongues. So everybody has a different testimony as to how it happens. But it won't happen unless you desire it, unless by faith. And you know, then the first thing that's going to happen, some of you may not have had this happen before, but how many of you, when you received Christ, you knew how bad you were? You received Christ, you knew it was real, and you were born again, but within a day or a week, maybe the next morning, the devil was whispering to you, this wasn't real, you're still just like you were. And there's a condemnation that comes. Well, with this, the devil will whisper to you the next morning, that was just you. That's just foolishness. That was just you. That wasn't God. Faith is involved in this. You have to, hopefully over 4 weeks, the foundation in the Word of God, that you believe it by the Word of God and not because we do it or we say it. You believe the Word of God, then you're going to persist. Jesus said, what Wyatt quoted, if you ask for your Father for a fish, is He going to give you a stone? No. And likewise, those who ask for the Holy Spirit will receive the Holy Spirit. He said, ask, seek, and knock. Those are three levels. You ask. If you don't feel like you got it then, don't pretend. You keep asking, you keep seeking, and you keep knocking. But I would encourage you tonight that as we pray for you, that you at least you come to the place, first of all, that you believe that He is giving you what you ask for. Because you receive by faith. Let it be according to your faith. So you believe. Ask Him, but don't sit there and say, well, He's not going to give it to me. Ask. I'm not talking about tongues right now. No, I'm just saying ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And believe Him for it. Settle that issue and begin to praise God. You're not going to be standing up here silent. We're going to be worshiping. People are going to be praying. So you don't have to be self-conscious. But you begin to praise God. Some of you never do that out loud. That's the first step. You know, if you can't say, thank you, Jesus, I love you, and begin to worship Him, you're not going to speak in tongues because you just won't speak anyway. You got to speak out loud. Amen? So you start speaking out loud, worshiping God. And allow Him to take you over that hump, that step, where you take the step of faith and you trust Him to supply the words. And if it's one or two syllables or if it's a mighty torrent, it doesn't matter. You begin to speak out and you praise God in other tongues. And if, and I'm not preparing for defeat or something, but if you believe that God has filled you, but that doesn't happen tonight, then don't think, well, it wasn't real and God doesn't want me to have it. Remember Wyatt's testimony. And go home and keep asking and seeking and knocking and keep worshiping and praising and exalting Him who is on the throne. And believe Him for it. And guess what? In God's timing, it will come. It will come. And you don't... If tonight He says, deal with this issue in your heart, then repent, let Him deal with you. But if you don't know of a known issue, don't stand there and beat up on yourself and say, well, He won't give it to me because I'm not perfect. I'm not sanctified enough. It's grace. It's a free gift. And it will help you then to walk in power and to have a more victorious life so that temptations and things don't grab you so readily and you have power. I'm going to ask Wyatt and praise team to come. This is what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lord. I want you to worship the Lord. Take your eyes and your thoughts off of everything else. Worship the Lord with all of your heart. And when I feel like the Lord is ready, this is important. If you're a baptized, if you're a born-again believer in this church tonight and you love the Lord, don't sit in your chair tonight, please. There is a place at this altar for every single person tonight. Because we're members of one body. There will be... I don't know if there's anybody that... You know, I'm laying a foundation. It may be that everybody in this place has been filled with the Holy Spirit and I just don't know it. So I'm not looking for a sign of a multitude to come to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But there may be one person. But whoever wants to receive the Holy Spirit, when I invite you, you're going to come right here. But everybody, if you're wanting more of the Lord, if you're wanting a deeper walk, if you've backslidden from walking in the Holy Spirit and in this gifting of the Holy Spirit, maybe you've not prayed in tongues and He gave you that gift 10 years ago and you don't exercise it. Come in repentance. Come and kneel. Come before the Lord tonight and seek the Lord. Maybe you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit some time ago and you've never received the gift of tongues. Then we want to pray with you that God would give you a breakthrough in that. And for everyone, come, if you've just got it all and you are all together tonight, then you come and you pray for those who are seeking. Don't just sit back and be complacent tonight. We want to storm heaven tonight for everything that God has. Amen? So we'll just follow His leading. continue just to play softly? Do I have a microphone? Oh, I'll just use this one.
Lord, as we continue to worship, I want to lead you in a prayer. We're still going to come forward in just a moment, but I want to lead you in a prayer. God may add to this. He may remind you of something else, but we need a moment of cleansing. And however long the Lord lingers or leads you in that after this, you know, as you seek the Lord tonight, then that's between you and Him. But I want us to come in a corporate repentance before the Lord. There's some things that may block or hinder you receiving the fullness of the Spirit of God. And so if you just join with me in prayer and confess these before the Lord, between you and God. Lord, we come and we confess to you our great need for you tonight. God, we confess so many times we've failed and we have sinned. And God, we are a people who desire to walk in righteousness. We're not wanting to play games. God, we're not wanting a supernatural manifestation of your Spirit so that we can play games. Lord, we want to reflect your holiness and your righteousness. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes us clean. God, we renounce every hidden work of darkness. Lord God, if there are those in here tonight who have walked in sinful rebellion in their sexual activity, Lord God, and they are desiring to be filled with the Spirit of God, Lord, give them conviction. Give them the gift of repentance, Lord God, that there would be no rebellion, no walking in willful sin in their lives, Lord God. And let them know the cleanliness of coming before you and receiving forgiveness. And Lord, tonight, if there are those who have been involved in the occult, in New Age, in witchcraft, in magic, in any type of occult activity or New Age activity, Lord God, we renounce those things because they are of Satan. We renounce the things of darkness. Lord God, we receive your forgiveness for those things tonight. We thank you again and we ask for the blood of Jesus to wash those things away. Lord, if we have harbored unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord God, help us in this moment to forgive. Lord God, release that to you, Lord, to have faith for you to work it into our lives, Lord God, that we would walk in forgiveness. Lord, let us not hold bitterness or anger towards any other person, Lord God, but only love. Let us owe no man nothing but love. So, Lord, cleanse us of our sins of anger and unforgiveness, Lord God. Lord, cleanse us for our pride and our arrogance and our egotism, Lord God, and our selfishness. Cleanse us of lying. Cleanse us of looking at things that we shouldn't look at, Lord God. Cleanse us of every evil work, everything that Satan has held us in bondage with or lured us with. In all of our lives, Lord, we renounce those things and we ask to be clean before you. Lord, that we would walk in holiness and righteousness. Prepare us now in this moment that we would be clean vessels to receive your Spirit in fullness, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want us to continue worshiping. And I want to tell you, I want to go ahead and let you know there is an order here. This is not the time, not that I think anybody is out of order or anything, but this is not the time to bring a public message in tongues. This is not a time for tongues or interpretation of tongues. This is a time now that we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You may pray in tongues. I may ask you all to pray. And you have liberty. If you have your prayer language, don't be bashful. Just pray to the Lord, even as you would in normal prayer out loud, but pray in the Spirit as the Lord leads you. Those who do not, that's not, we don't have the haves and the have-nots. You pray as the Lord leads you, and you worship Him with your understanding. I'm going to ask, we're going to sing another song or two, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward.
Desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to come to stand up front. For those who desire the gift of tongues, maybe you feel that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and either you've not received your prayer language or you feel it's so limited or you've doubted, I'm going to ask you to come also and to stand over here. For those who are seeking just to return to a fullness in that walk, you've been filled with the Spirit, maybe you've backslidden into things of that walk in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and be up front also. And for everyone else, for every person who's walking with the Lord right now in this congregation, I invite you to come to help us as we minister to those who are gathered. I'm going to ask Maggie to come and stand with me. The praise team is going to continue to lead in worship. We're going to worship the Lord. And just invite you to come. Everyone should have a need here tonight. I ask you to come tonight. And let's seek the Lord. Don't worry if you worry about if you're standing in the right place. It's not going to matter. Just come. God. Children are invited to come. God wants to baptize you in His Spirit just as much as He does the adults. From a young age to know what that is. Those who have never received the Holy Spirit in this way, spoken in tongues, I invite you to come and to be a part right here up front. Right up front here. So, I say it doesn't matter where you stand, but it does. I need to be able to identify this group. So, there's still not a gap. So, let me see how to do this. Raise your hands if you're here to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. And everything that God has for you. Everything that God has for you. I want you to come up here. We're going to worship the Lord. Elders, I want you to surround them to be up here with us. Lay hands on them. Okay. If I miss somebody, then you just let me know. This is informal. You grab me. Okay? If we're praying for you and we leave you alone for a little bit and you're worshiping the Lord, you feel like there's a problem or something, you still need more prayer, you need to say something, then grab us again. We come back. We're going to spend time in praise and worship. We're going to worship the Lord. As we begin, before we do that, we're going to go to the Lord right now in prayer. And I'm asking for everyone in this place, no matter how you pray, if you pray in the Spirit, then feel free to do that. If you pray in your own understanding, feel free to do that. Let's ask the Lord. Let's begin to seek the Lord right now and ask Him for everything that He has. Ask Him to meet us at His Word, that He would honor His Word here tonight. These signs shall follow those who believe. Bless you, Lord. Jesus, we ask that You would come tonight in power. Jesus, we ask, You are the baptizer. We ask, Lord, that You would do what Your Word says. We ask, Lord, for faith for those who are gathered here tonight to believe You for this, Lord God. And Lord, take away any self-consciousness, Lord God. And let them only come desiring more of You, Lord God, and to receive it in the way that You give it, Lord God. We pray for fullness. We pray for might. We ask, Lord, for nothing less than a full baptism in Your Spirit for these tonight, Lord God. And we bless You tonight. We worship You, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It should be comforting to you tonight to know that Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. When you were baptized in water, man baptized you into water. It was something that God commanded, but man baptized you into water. And when you were born again, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, baptized you into the body of Christ, into the church. But Jesus is the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. So I want everyone, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Put your hands up to the Lord. We're just going to start. And again, if I miss somebody, you just need to grab me and let me know. We're going to lay hands on Kyle here. And I want everybody to just be praising the Lord. If y'all lead in song, we'll sing, whatever it is. But be praising the Lord. Oh, Lord God, we come tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would baptize Kyle in the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, even as he receives it now by faith and he believes You, Lord God, I ask and I even speak, be baptized in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit of God. Lord, fill him to overflowing. Lord, open up his mouth that his tongue might praise You, Lord God. Give him everything, Lord God, that You have for him today, this hour, Lord, as we are gathered here. Lord, loose his tongue so that he would begin to praise You and he would begin to speak forth the praises of God. Lord, I don't care if I hear it or not, but that You hear it, Lord God. Just begin to speak forth. And Kyle, I want to encourage you to begin to worship God and to just speak forth what He gives you and to praise Him. And just trust Him to give you everything. Just continue to worship Him right now. Amen. Everyone, just continue to worship the Lord. Michelle, I know that you have received. I know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and that you've even spoken in tongues. I pray, God, for a deep, deep filling, Lord God. Everything, Lord God. Take everything that's not of You. Fill her to overflowing with You, Lord God. Fill her with Your Spirit, Lord God. Bring forth that language, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that she has confidence that it's You and that she exercises it in her life, Lord God. Give her liberty, even right now, Lord God, that she would begin to speak forth the praises of God, Lord, in the language that You give. Michelle, just begin to worship Him and just worship Him as He gives it to you. Bless you, Lord. I'll see. Saturday, no more. No, Kise, I love you. Incredible, Kadatiye. Nisi, Korda, Basti, today. No more, Shandari, I love you. Site, Elekason, de Rabakier, de Nimos. Noche, de Sine, de Bakator, de Basti, I love you. Nisi, Credible, Korda, de Ala, Sunda, Rabakiente. Nisi, Tresa, no more, Kapur, de Ala, Sunda. Carol, are you asking for this? Lord, I lay hands on Carol and I ask, Lord God, that You would baptize her, the overflowing in Your Spirit, Lord God. I know that, Lord, she's timid in nature, so I just come against any timidity that would come from the enemy, and we break that in Jesus' name. And I ask that You fill her with boldness, Lord, boldness to praise You, to praise You out loud, Lord God, to worship You, and Lord, to go beyond English, Lord God, beyond her understanding, and to reach out in the Spirit and lay hold of that which You're giving her, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I just encourage you just to go ahead and praise the Lord, Carol, and just worship Him as you do. And love Him and be lost in it right now. And just let Him give you the word. Jesus' name. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord God. Bless Are these the people? Y'all are seeking baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay. Lord, start with you right now. Lord, I lift up Morgan. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're so faithful, Lord God. Fill her with your Spirit. She has battled demonic things and she needs your power, Lord God. Lord, come upon her in might and power and fill her to overflowing, Lord God. And Lord, we even ask, Lord God, that you would give her her prayer language tonight, Lord God. We ask, Lord, that you would fill her and that it would come forth, Lord God, by your Spirit. And we thank you for it in advance. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Morgan, just begin to speak forth the praises of God. You continue with her. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, we lift up Estella. Baptize her in your Spirit, we ask you, in faith. Lord Jesus, you are the baptizer. She loves you, Lord. Fill her to overflowing. Fill every vacant space in her, Lord God. And let your praises come forth upon her lips, Lord God. Lord, fill her and let your language come forth, Lord God. Give her, Lord, the gift that you gave the disciples on the day of Pentecost, Lord God. Free up any hindrances, Lord God. We come against anything that hinders Isella right now in the name of Jesus. And we tell you, enemy, you have no authority. You cannot bind her in any way. She is free. And she is released right now to worship the Lord. Isella, sing or praise or whatever the God leads you to do and go beyond your own understanding and just worship Him with the words that He gives you and don't worry about how it sounds. Just praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We thank you that it's going to come forth. I believe you, Lord. You gave me a word and I believe that these are going to receive tonight, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for Crystal. Lord God, I pray that you would fill her with your Spirit right now to overflowing, Lord God. Lord, baptize her fully from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord God. Drive out worldly things. Drive out, Lord, any desire for anything that's not of you. Give her the gift that you gave on the day of Pentecost. Fill her to overflowing, Lord God, and bring forth the praises of God in her life. Take away timidity. Take away fearfulness, Lord God. Take away self-consciousness and any shame that she has, Lord God. Let her be free from those things right now and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Crystal, just begin to worship the Lord. Just begin to worship the Lord. Begin to praise Him, Lord God. Praise Him with all that you have, Lord God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Ashley. Oh, Ashley, the Lord loves you. The Lord baptizes you right now in the Holy Spirit because you open your heart to Him. Open up and receive everything that He has for you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Nothing else but the Spirit of God right now. Take up residence, Lord God, within Ashley. Take up residence within Ashley, Lord God. Bring forth that prayer language. Lord, I know she has spoken a little bit in tongues. I pray, Lord God, that you give her fluency. Lord, that you bring it forth and it becomes a precious gift and a prayer language for her. Lord God, let it be real to her, Lord God. Lord, let her not go lacking in any good thing. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. Oh God, how I thank you, Lord. How I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord God. I lift up Shannon to you right now, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for this woman that is used. She uses her mind and the gift that you have given her. But right now, Lord God, let her faith rise up. And let her, Lord, not be in her intellect right now, Lord God, but fill her with your Spirit, Lord God. Fill her to overflowing and release that within her that you desire, Lord God. I just speak to you, Shannon, and say, be filled with the Spirit of God and you receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. And Shannon, you must worship Him and praise Him and it will come. It will come, but you open up your heart and let it come. And you begin to speak forth the words that He gives you. Start in your understanding, but then go beyond your understanding and worship Him. Take that step of faith. Thank you, Lord God. Let there be no doubt. Let there be no lacking of confidence in you, Lord God, that we know that this is your word and that you have for us this great and precious gift. Robert, are you coming for this? Sisi te deba katur do bosun da yala visi. Treviente ni monakasta yala visi. Treda bokur do bosi te deba katanda da bakisi. Bless you, Lord God. Oh God, your son has many needs, Lord God. And he needs you more than anything else, Lord. And not just the taste of you, Lord God. Lord, he's tasted. He has tasted and seen that you are good. But now he needs a meal. Now he needs everything, Lord God. Now he needs the Spirit overflowing like rivers of living water, Lord God. Make it real to him, Lord God, because I cannot, but only your Spirit can. Come, Lord God, and fill the heart of this man who loves you. Fill him to overflowing. Robert, yield everything in you to God right now and ask him to come. Ask and you will receive. Ask and knock and persist in this. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would release any hindrances, Lord, in him, Lord God, and that he would begin to well up with praise for you, and he would not be self-conscious about it, and he would open his heart, and he would love you, Lord, with all of his heart, his soul, and his mind, and his strength. And then let those words, Robert, as you begin to praise God, I'm going to leave you, but you praise God, and you lift up praises to him, and let God speak through you. Let him begin to give you the words, and you worship him, and don't think about what anybody around you is saying. Bless you, Lord. God, we come. Cambry's asking, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, not for the sake of tongues, Lord God, but for you. Be filled with you to overflowing, Lord God. God, we pray right now, and we even speak in faith. Cambry, be filled with the Spirit of God. In this moment tonight, be filled with the Spirit of God. Let him come. Let him come. Open up your heart to him. Don't hold anything back. If he speaks anything to your heart, if he brings something to your mind that he's saying, yield to me, then give it to him. He's a loving Father. You don't have to earn it, but be obedient to him. And worship him and praise him and expect him to fill you to overflowing. And as you worship, even, you know, if any of you are struggling, sing. Sing to the Lord and let it come forth in song. Bless you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. Begin to lift up those praises to God. Open your mouth, he said, and I will fill it. Open your mouth and I will fill it. Raise your hand if you're seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you're seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you love your servant, Lord God. Oh, God, don't hold back any good gift, Lord God. Bless her tonight. Oh, Lord, she has many burdens and many cares. Bless her tonight, Lord, with a blessing that will carry her through, Lord God, with a power from on high, Lord God, that she's not had before, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you would fill her right now with your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this vessel to overflowing, Lord God. Open her mouth to praise you and to worship you, Lord God. Let no thing hinder her from praising you in the language that you give. Let her worship you now, Lord God, with her speech, Lord God. And just begin to speak. Just begin to speak, Amy. Begin to worship the Lord and let it come forth. Go beyond your understanding. Let him do it, but speak forth and let him fill your mouth with praise. Bless you, Lord. Don't worry if you think, oh, it's just me. You speak in faith. You speak in faith and let God fill your mouth. He will honor your step of faith. And you have faith to believe that it's him. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Come if you're seeking. Crystal. Filled with the Spirit, Crystal. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, baptize her and fill her to overflowing. Fill her with your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, your word says that you don't withhold any good gifts from your children. Fill her tonight, Lord God. Let her yield every frame, every part of her being to you, Lord God. And let her love you, Lord, like she's never loved you before. fill her to overflowing with your Spirit, Lord God, and let the praises of God come out of her mouth tonight, Lord God. Give her the language that you desire to give her, Lord God. Let it be words of the Spirit, Lord God, that edify and build up her spirit, Lord. And we thank you in advance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Just here praying tonight for the Lord to bless you tonight. Lord, I just pray that you fill Natalie with your Spirit. Lord, bless her, Lord God. Fill her heart with love for you, Lord God. Lord, fill her lips with praise for you, Lord God. I believe you're going to do a work in her life, Lord God. Take her, Lord. Lord, as you draw her step by step, take her into your presence, Lord God. Give her your heart. You tonight. If you've received your prayer language tonight, speak it. Not to us, But continue speaking to the Lord. Let Him fill your mouth and just begin to practice, begin to exercise that. Speak to the Lord. Bless you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Jesus, we bless you tonight, Lord God.
Like rivers of living water. Lord, I believe that you spoke. I believe, Lord God, that you filled. I believe that you gifted, Lord God. And Lord, there's a timidity and there's a doubt, Lord God. Drive that doubt out, because not of what I say, but what the Word of God has spoken, Lord God. Drive the doubt out and let Him come in faith, and let Him begin to speak forth the praises of God again, and let Him be consistent in glorifying you as you lead in this way, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you let him experience the anointing that comes with that. Lord God, the new move of God in his own life, Lord God, that you would just break through and other gifts, Lord God, would begin to operate in his life, Lord God, and that you would flow through him in a new way. And I thank you. I thank you. I believe you're going to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
forever, forever be to our God. Forever and ever 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 it will be to our God in heaven.
By faith, when you ask to be filled, he will pray He's going to make it so real to you. So real, Lord. You know, very precious. You want to have a new love for you, Lord.
His glory.